Welcome to a Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Later on in the hour, a Christmas story on the Gunsmoke series, but right now, a holiday tale from Escape. This CBS broadcast heard on Christmas Eve, 1950, called The Cave.
You, finding life rather dull, dreaming again of exotic places, wishing you were somewhere else, we offer you Escape.
In the spirit of the Christmas season and its magic effect on all men, Escape brings you a charming fantasy about a small boy who discovered a delightful new world and lived forever after in its enchantment. As Anthony Ellis tells it in The Cave.
It's on days like this that I remember how it used to be before I found the cave. This day in particular. Of course, it's hard to see everything as it really was. Time has a habit of distorting the memories. Memories. Christmas. Christmas Day. Oh, what a long time ago that was. I was 10, and an unpopular uncle had distinguished himself by giving me a flashlight. And it was enormous. 4 batteries and a most incredible gleam to its metal case. I couldn't wait to try it out. And because it was still early afternoon, I could think of only one place that was dark enough for the exciting test. The cave. The big cave whose mouth was near the sand dunes and whose recess was rumored to be miles deep. George Fennell and I had never ventured more than 200 yards or so inside, but on that Christmas afternoon, I knew that the cold darkness of the cave would have no fears for George and me. We met near the dunes, as arranged, to compare notes on our respective Christmas presents. It was quite warm, and the snow was beginning to melt in patches. A few gulls were wheeling about nearby. It was as I have remembered it all my life.
That's keen. Listen, I bet it'd work like a searchlight tonight.
I guess it would, all right.
Maybe they'll let us stay up tonight. If it doesn't get cold, we could play pirate. I use my new gun.
I thought we might go in the cave this afternoon.
Hey, that's keen. Oh, maybe they'll get sore. I had to get all dressed up today.
We don't get dirty. Besides, we could go a real long way inside with this.
I wouldn't want to go in too far. They say the cave goes off in a lot of tunnels. You can get lost.
Maybe. If you haven't got a flashlight.
Sure, that's right. And with my gun. Sure, we can explore. Come on, I'll race you to the cave.
I won the race, and we stood at the entrance of the big cave. The arch had a span of about 25 feet, but just inside, it widened until the walls were 70 feet apart and the ceiling was over 50. As we passed from sunlight to shadow, I turned for a moment and looked down to the sea. At the water's edge, a gull stood, motionless, looking up at us. And then, solemnly, as though with disapproval, it too turned about and gazed out over the water. The opening of the cave receded and became small, and we went deeper and deeper.
Shine it up there, Dan. Way up.
Okay.
Gee, I bet that's high.
A mile, I guess.
You're dilly, a mile. Maybe 100 feet. Psst. Bang, bang. Boy, that's keen. Just like a real gun.
Come on, let's look. Let's look the cave down here. It looks like a turn, see?
Well, okay, but we better not go too far.
What's the matter? You scared?
Heck no, but, well, I gotta get back for dinner. They'll get awful sore if I'm late.
Oh, you won't be late. Come on. I want to see what's around here.
Okay. Hold the light on my gun. I gotta reload. Fish. Who ever heard of fish in a stream like this? Where'd they come from, huh? Where?
Oh, I don't know. They say there are fish in caves sometimes. Blind fish.
That's Dilly.
What are you stopping for?
We gotta go back now.
Why?
Because it's late. Besides, how do you know which tunnel we took? How? Maybe we could get lost.
Listen, maybe if we keep on going, we'll find treasure in here.
Treasure?
Sure stands to reason. Maybe like in the pirate book. Somebody came here and buried treasure. Henry Morgan or somebody.
No.
Sure stands to reason. Everybody's like you. They say no, but just suppose. If no one's looked, how'd they know?
I think we better get back. Maybe tomorrow we can look. Cave's getting awful narrow.
We might even find old pirate bones and swords.
You got too much imagination. I heard them saying so at home. I don't want to go any farther.
I'm going to.
Okay. Give me the flashlight.
No. You want to go back? You go back in the dark.
They'll be mad. It's late.
Just for a little while. If we don't find anything, well, then we'll go back.
All right. But only a little while.
I'm thirsty.
You better not drink out of that water. It's probably poison.
Why? Hold the light. I'm going to have a drink.
There you are. See, I told you. Now you'll probably die. It's poison.
Oh, so? It's like the ocean.
Hey, look.
What?
There, coming down the stream, that white thing.
Yeah.
Looks like a piece of paper.
I'm gonna get it. Hold on to my hand.
You'll fall in.
Oh, I won't. I got it.
What is it?
I don't know. It looks like a handkerchief.
That's Dilly. It's too small. Who'd use a handkerchief like that?
My mother does.
Gee, I'd hate to blow my nose on that. You can almost see through it.
How'd it get down here?
Who cares?
Maybe it's a message.
Huh?
Like from someone in distress.
I'm going home.
Like a damsel in distress in the pirate book. Hey, we gotta find out. Give me my flashlight. We'll follow the stream.
We followed the stream. We walked by it as the cave twisted and curved. We didn't notice the passageway, which had been getting smaller all the time, suddenly widen out, and the stream, which was becoming a river, and the river... The river!
Hey!
What?
Where's the other side of the water?
There isn't any. It keeps going. It's like a lake.
Or maybe a sea. There's little waves.
Dan.
Huh?
Turn the light around.
The walls are gone. There's no walls.
There's gotta be. It's a cave.
There's no top to it either.
It's just too high to see, that's all. Let's go home. Let's go home right now.
What are you afraid of?
I'm not, but I'm hungry and it's Christmas. Well, I got things to play with. Come on, Dan. Come on, I want to get outside. What'd you do that for? Turn on the light. Turn it on.
Don't you notice something?
You turn that on. Give it to me.
Oh, wait a minute. I want you to see something. I'll turn it on.
You give it to me. I'm not going to play with you anymore. You give it.
See what you've done?
It's all your fault. I didn't want to come in here anyway. How are we going to get back? It's dark.
No, it isn't. That's what I wanted you to see. Look up there.
I don't see anything.
You will.
Oh. It's like stars. Way, way up.
That's what it is. It's stars.
We stood there, George and I, 10 years old. And for a moment, no longer afraid because of the wonder of the thing. There was light from a sky that I knew I had never seen before. Yet I knew I was still in the big cave because when I spoke, the echo of my voice returned.
It's beautiful.
I can't find it. The water's too deep. Dan? Dan?
That's funny.
You're always saying that. It's not going to be funny when we can't get home.
Listen! Dan! Dan! Now you do it.
What for? It's just an old echo.
Go on.
George! 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 Help! 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 Help!
There. How can there be an echo when there's no cave anymore?
You're trying to scare me. Well, I'm going. You can come too if you want. Dan, please.
I'll bet nobody's ever been in here ever. I'll bet we're the first. Except for pirates, maybe. I wish we could see more.
If my mother hadn't taken away my matches, we could find our way out okay. Gollies, it's night. Come on. Please. I'm hungry. Somebody's here. Somebody else.
Sounds like it's over there.
No. Don't go, Dan. Dan. I'm scared. I don't like this place.
Go home if you want to. I can see someone. Look.
Gee.
He's digging in the sand.
Don't let's go any closer, Dan.
Let go of me. I want to see what he's doing.
No. Look. Look.
There's some other people. They got swords.
Got you, Nambi, you scurvy wretch. Look on him, bullies. Now, don't hit me, Captain. I just wanted to see if the treasure was still there. It's the truth I did. I'll show you what's there, you pot-bellied toad.
No! No, Captain, no. You're killing me. No, please, no. I wasn't touching the treasure. Don't hit me again. Don't kill me!
Kill you? I haven't started to kill you yet, Nambi. Come on, bullies. Lay on. We'll exercise our appetites for the feast.
Escape, under the direction of Norman MacDonald, returns in just a moment. There's nothing quite as depressing as being hungry. Hunger is the hand which crushes the will to work. Hunger is the enemy of hope. And there are many, many hungry people today in the war-anguished lands of Europe and the Far East. You can restore that will to work. You can restore hope by combating hunger. And your weapon of combat is a care package. For $10, you can send a care package today. Keep sending them until those people can take care of themselves. And now, back to Escape.
In that faint light from the stars of another world, the world of the big cave, George and I watched. We could only see shadows until someone lit a lantern. And then I knew that I'd been right.
Pirates! Pirates!
I want to go home.
Pirates they were. The most glorious, the gaudiest pirates to sail under the Jolly Roger. The leader was a huge man with a fine, bushy beard and a voice like the trombone in the village band.
How shall we cook him, bullies? Broiled or steamed?
No! No, Captain, no!
He's too tough a morsel for that, Captain. I say, roast him.
I shall. Roast it'll be.
Nothing like roasting Nambi, I always say.
No, no!
We'll cut out his heart first and feed it to the dog.
I feed him.
Nambi, you lily-livered aggravation. Say your prayer.
He's gonna kill him. I don't want to watch.
Shut up.
Dan.
Shh. Who is that?
I don't know, Captain.
Sounded like a boy.
A boy? A boy?
Mayhap 'twas the Lady Alicia.
Bilge. She She's in the dungeon, Gunfallon.
Aye, that's true.
It came from over there. Hold the lantern high, Shil.
They'll get us, Dan. We gotta run.
Don't be afraid. If you're not afraid, nothing can happen.
Do you see anything, Gunfallon?
You know it, but... Oh. Save us all. 'Tis a boy. There's two of them.
Well, scupper me. Boy, huh? Oh, the little demon. That's it. Boys. Two small boys.
What'll we do with them, Captain?
Hang them, I say. Hang them. They're out of the treasure.
You! Were it not Christmas, Nemby, I should have turned you inside out. How'd you bliss a blethering jaw?
Aye, Captain, sir. Aye, aye.
Boy, what's your name?
Dan Embry, sir.
On that one.
George.
She's my friend, George. George Fennel. His father's a policeman.
Where'd you come from, boy?
Greenfield. That's outside the cave.
Cave? What cave? What do you do here? Whose spies are you? Answer up!
Just exploring. We got here, that's all.
Exploring? Where's your ship?
We didn't come in a ship.
What, no ship?
There, boys, Captain. What harm can they do? Come, it's Christmas. I say feed them and send them on their way.
What's Christmas got to do with it? If they're spies, it's the plank for them.
Aye. We're not spies. Honest.
We'll look into this further. Meantime, the goose and suckling pig should be ready. I say it's time for the feast. I'll say you, Willis. Are you hungry, boy?
Yes, sir.
And him?
He's hungry, too.
Then join us. And Merry Christmas. For no man can say Captain Blackton lacks the Christian spirit. Am I right, Nemby?
You're right, Captain. Right as rain.
I'd have slit your gullet had you said me nay. Merry Christmas. And break out the rum barrel.
I remember that day, that long ago, the great dining board set upon trestles, the fruits, the wine, roast goose, and pig, the pirates rough in their colorful patched clothing, the songs, and the drinking, and stories, stories of home and sea. Such Christmases are dreamt of, and I had dreamed it to come true. George sat next to me, eyes wide and unbelieving. And after the plum pudding, we were called on to sing a carol. And as we sang, they became quiet, and each sat lost with his own thoughts of sweetness and sadness. The little man Nemby, bird-like and asleep. Gunfallon, thin as a twig, a patch over one eye, and the other kindly and wise. Shil and the captain, with tears coursing down their cheeks. These were my pirates, my own.
Born is the king of Israel.
Well done. Well done, I say. A dollop of rum for the boys.
Captain. This be an happy day with us. Let's share with those less fortunate.
Less fortunate? Who? We're all well met.
The Lady Alicia.
Nay, she is our prisoner. Until ransom is paid, so she will remain.
What matter if she grace our table for the evening? It has been long since a woman's been with us.
Very well. Send the prisoner here. Bring her from the dungeon.
Then I thought of the fine lace handkerchief we had found in the stream. Would this prisoner, the Lady Alicia, would she have sent the message of distress? And how? They brought her in. And to me, she looked as she should have looked. The most beautiful lady in the world. Gowned in silks, with a pale but proud face. I fell in love with her, and I was 10. As the night wore on, the pirates grew drowsy, and one after another their heads drooped, and soon all were asleep. Even George, sitting small in his great chair, nodded. I went to the Lady Alicia's side.
It was your handkerchief we found in the stream, wasn't it?
Yes, I had not dared to hope.
But they have you locked in a dungeon.
Beyond my windows, a running brook. I'd prayed that when I dropped the kerchief, it would by some happy chance be discovered.
I found it all right.
You are very brave to have come here.
How long have they kept you in prison?
6 months now. We were sailing to the Indies. Our ship was taken, and I alone survived. Now they hold me for ransom.
That's terrible. Gosh, I wish I could do something to save you.
There is nothing.
I know I'm not very big, but maybe I could fight
them.
There
are too many for you.
Dan, they're all asleep. Come on, we can get away now. Let's go home.
Home?
Sure, our folks are going to be mad.
George, we got to save her.
If you could but escape and deliver a message to my father.
Sure, okay. Where does he live?
London, Lord Basingstoke. He will reward you well.
Sure, but we got to go now.
I don't want to leave you. They'll be angry when they wake up.
My hope will rest in you. I shall pray for your safety and return.
Gee whiz, Dan. Come on.
You go ahead. I'll be right along.
Okay, but hurry up. I'll wait by the water.
Will you be all right?
Yes.
Suppose I come back and you're not here.
I shall try to leave a message.
I'm Dan.
I know.
When I get older, I'll marry you. You're beautiful.
I'll wait for you. You must go before they awake.
I don't want to go.
You will come back to me. Here.
I love you.
Hurry up, Dan. Gee whiz, I want to get home. They'll be mad. Mother said not to be late for dinner.
We've got to save Lady Alicia. Don't forget.
Okay, but hurry up. It's dark. Do you know which way to go?
I know.
I don't want to fall in the stream and get all wet. I got my good clothes on.
You won't.
I'm sorry I dropped your flashlight in. I'll save up, get you another.
I don't mind.
I bet it's awful late. I'm glad it's Christmas. Maybe they won't mind.
We followed the tunnels one to the other. The stream flowed with us, urging us on. It was dark, but I knew the way. We felt along the damp walls of the cave, and at every step we moved further away from my world. And suddenly, from a great distance, we saw a tiny circle of light, a dot which grew and grew until it was the size of a gold sovereign.
There it is, Dan. It's the entrance, and it's still light out. I won't be late for dinner.
And I was afraid. I was afraid because I knew that if I stepped out into that sunlight, I should never be able to find my way back again. Never.
Hey, what are you stopping for? Why?
George.
If we run, we can be home before the sun goes down. For Pete's sake, Dan, what's the matter with you?
I'm not coming with you.
Oh, gee, what's
I gotta go back.
Go back? What do you want to do that for?
I got to. I don't want to leave her. The pirates. I want to go back.
Pirates? Who?
The Lady Alicia.
Gee whiz, Dan. Come on, it was only a game. Come on.
You've forgotten. I knew you would. I'm not going with you.
You better. I'm going to tell your mother. You'll get it.
Goodbye, George.
Dan? Dan! Come back. Dan, what's the matter with you? Dan? You'll get lost. Dan? Dan! Don't go in there again. We played long enough. Come back. Come back. Dan? Dan? Dan!
I turned away from George and the speck of light that was outside. His voice followed me, plaintive and lonely. And then as I found the stream again, there was no sound but that of gentle water and my own steps. And the stream became a river, and the river broadened, and the walls of the cave fell away, and I'd found my pirates again. It's on days like this that I remember how it used to be before I found the cave. This day in particular. Sometimes I wonder what happened to George and what it's like outside the cave. But I don't really mind. After all, the Lady Alicia kept her promise and waited for me until I grew up. Now, everything is as I'd always dreamed it in the books. Oh, Captain Blackton... Well, he's still here, a little less ferocious, perhaps, than 20 years ago.
Captain?
Yes, Blackton.
If you and my lady are ready, sir, the turkeys are cooked, and the men are waiting your pleasure.
Very well, Blackton. Thank you, and a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Captain. Thank you, sir. And a Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Under the direction of Norman MacDonald, Escape has brought you The Cave by Anthony Ellis. Featured in the cast were John Daner, Georgia Ellis, Peggy Weber, Jay Novello, Charlie Lung, Lou Krugman, Wilms Herbert, and Eileen Erskine. The special music for Escape was composed and conducted by Ivan Dittmars.
Next week, escape with us to a placid English village and the company of an equally placid little old man who one day shook the world as H.G. Wells told it in his delightful story, The Man Who Could Work Miracles.
Where does the world stand? Where is it heading as 1951 approaches? Next Sunday, CBS will bring you an exciting, timely appraisal of the world situation and some of the answers when 10 top CBS News correspondents are heard in a special broadcast entitled The Challenge of the 50s, Years of Crises. Remember, that's next Sunday afternoon on most of these same CBS stations. Now, stay tuned for Make Believe Town, which follows immediately on most of these same CBS stations. Roy Rowan speaking. This is CBS, where you spend an hour with Frank Sinatra every Sunday afternoon on the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Escape on Tuned to Yesterday from December 24th, 1950 on CBS. The story penned by Anthony Ellis would be repeated again on the Suspense series a few days before Christmas 1955 and again a few days shy of the holiday in 1956 on the CBS show Romance. You're listening to an hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now a Christmas story from Kansas on Gunsmoke. The CBS episode first heard on December 29th, 1957, called Where'd They Go?
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Gonna stop in at the Long Branch, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, might as well. There's not much going around town tonight.
Sure do hope they got a rip-smartin' fire going.
Yeah, that wind's got a nip to it, all right.
Gonna blow up worse before morning.
It might.
Well, I thought old Doc might be around here, but I don't see him no place.
Hello, Mac.
Hi, Kitty.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Miss Kitty.
Come on over to the stove where it's warm.
It feels warm right here after that wind outside.
Goes right through you, doesn't it?
I think I'll ooch over by the stove, Mr. Dillon. Might be some kind-hearted stranger who'll buy me a beer.
Chester never gives up hope. Yeah, sit down, Kitty. If you're not busy.
Oh, thanks, Matt. Don't you believe in kind-hearted strangers?
No. Not since I was 9 years old.
What took you so long?
Well, I was kind of slow growing up. Would you like a beer?
Yeah, if you'll let a kind-hearted stranger buy it.
I wouldn't exactly call you a stranger, Kitty.
You'll have to admit I'm kind-hearted, though. Couple of beers, Sam.
All right, Miss Kitty.
You think a real bad storm's coming up, Matt?
Yeah, it's that time of year.
I remember the blizzard last year around Christmas time.
Yeah, it was a rough one, all right.
Matt, things would be rough this time of year, even if the weather weren't bad.
What do you mean?
Oh, holiday season. Families getting together and all, just ordinary, decent, good times. Hmm.
Do people still live that way?
Not many out here. I sure don't.
Ah, not kidding.
I'm sorry, Matt. Time of year, I get to thinking too much, remembering too much.
That's not good, Kitty. It's a hard town. It's a hard country. Go soft and it'll kill you.
I remember nights you come in here after you had to kill a man. Nights you stayed till sun up, not talking, alone mostly, and dying a dozen deaths inside.
You're as sentimental as Chester.
Hmm. Hey. Oh, there you are, Marshal.
Shut the doggone door, Mr. Jones. You're letting in all the cold.
Well, take your chance to. I've been robbed, Marshal.
What?
Held up. Right in my old store.
Well, how'd it happen, Mr. Jonas?
Well, a fella come in right after closing time, bandana over his face, and stuck a gun in my stomach and took everything in the cash drawer. $68.
Well, it sure took you a long time to get around telling me about it.
Well, he tied me up. Left me there in the back room. I just now got loose. You gotta go after him, Marshal.
It's kind of a tall order, isn't it? Trailing a 5-hour head start.
Well, that don't matter now, because I know who he is.
I thought you said he wore a mask.
He did. But I could tell by his voice and his walk and everything about him. It was Clint Doty.
Clint Doty?
Yeah, he's a homesteader up the river.
Yeah, I know him. I know him. But I can't believe that Clint's the kind to do a thing like that.
With him, all right. I'm 100% certain.
Well, all right. We'll ride out in the morning and bring him in.
In the morning?
If it was him, he'll be there.
But, Marshal, you...
Wilbur, I'm not going to ride 12 miles up that river bottom at midnight with a blizzard coming up for $68. Now, we'll leave in the morning at sunup.
Heard it's right up, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, you'd think so.
You suppose he's gonna hold up the house and try to shoot it out?
I doubt he's not that type, Chester.
Yeah, nobody never thought he was the type to hold up Mr. Jonas, neither.
Well, morning, Marshal. Chester.
Oh, Doty.
How are you, Doty?
Morning and sad. I got some coffee on the stove.
Well, we might warm our hands a little bit. Come on, Chester.
Yes, sir.
I reckon Medora can rustle up some eggs inside me to gain that.
Thanks, Doty, but we had breakfast before we left Dodge.
Well, you can get warm at least. Hey, what you trying to do, Marshal? Blow up a storm?
Yeah, it looks that way.
It's been snowing since daybreak out here in the river bottoms. And with that wind blowing, it's going to start drifting.
Yeah, probably will.
Well, I'll heat this coffee up a little. What brings you out this way, Marshal?
You, Doty?
Me? What do you mean?
We're here to arrest you. Take you back in.
What for?
Armed robbery.
Armed robbery? You mean that holdup at the general store?
Yeah, news seems to travel fast, doesn't it? How'd you know about it?
Well,
What's all this about armed robbery?
Oh, you know my wife again.
Yeah, sure. How are you, Mother?
Good morning, ma'am.
Did I hear you accusing Clint of robbery, Marshal?
That's more a matter of Wilbur Jonas accusing him, man.
When did this happen, Marshal?
Yesterday evening, around 7 o'clock.
Clint hasn't been away from this place for 2 days.
No, Medora.
Well, a wife's word might not stand for much under the circumstances, Medora.
Are you calling me a liar?
No, Medora, stop that. There's people seen me in town yesterday evening.
And Wilbur Jonas claims he's one of them.
Well, the way I heard it, the fellow that held him up was wearing a mask.
He says he recognized your voice.
Wilbur Jonas couldn't recognize sour apples if he had a mouth full of them.
Well, I guess that'd be something for the judge to decide, man.
And you're going to take me into jail?
Unless you can prove you were somewhere else at 7 o'clock last night.
Well, that might be kind of hard to do, Marshal.
And then we better get started. We've got a hard ride ahead of us.
Oh, no, wait a minute. I can't go off and leave Medora like this with a storm coming on.
Well, maybe one of the neighbors could come over and stay with her.
Well, there's none closer than 5 miles, Marshal, and they all got plenty of troubles of their own this time of year.
Well, I ain't even got enough firewood to split it up to last her more than a day and a half. I was aiming to get some laid in today.
I'm sure she's made out before.
Oh, well, maybe so, but not in her condition.
Clint!
Condition? What are you talking about?
Well, she's going to have a baby, Marshal.
Oh, for the love of...
It's mighty hard on a woman having her man took off to jail and not even wood in the house to keep warm.
Now, look, Doty.
You know, it wouldn't take no time at all if the three of us was to pitch in together.
All right, Doty, let's get at it. What's the matter, Chester?
Well, this cussed axe needs sharpening again, Mr. Dillon.
It ain't too good a steel. The marshal's got the best one.
You couldn't prove it by me.
Well, listen, sure don't hold its edge none.
Oh, here, Chester, let me touch it up with a stone.
Oh, my gracious, that itches my teeth. If you ask me, we've already chopped enough wood to last through this winter and half a next. Stop that, don't he?
That stove eats it up pretty fast.
Oh, Chester's right, Doty. We've chopped enough.
Well, she's got to use some of it to cook with, too, you know.
It's enough here to last till she can make other arrangements. Now, let's pack it into the shed and head back for town before that snow gets any worse.
Well, whatever you say, Marshal.
Mister!
What's you?
You mister's feel like taking on some vittles? I got some nice hot stew ready.
Did you say vittles?
Now, we gotta get started, Medora. It's getting late.
Oh, it won't do no harm to eat first. It'll make the trail shorter, Marshal.
Well...
My! Just look at all that firewood. I'm right obliged to you, men.
You're welcome, Medora.
I reckon I'll need every stick of it, too, with this wind driving the snow in through the north wall of the cabin.
God dang it, I clean forgot.
Forgot what?
The chinkin.
The chicken?
No, the chinkin. The chinkins all fell out of the north wall of the house. I was aiming to fix it today. I got a lot of bark slabs cut laying out back of the barn.
Now, look, Dodie.
Oh, it's mighty hard on a woman in Medora's condition with the snow and the sleet blowing in on her.
Dodie, would it be all right if we eat first?
Does the job down at this end.
Yeah, I'm just about through here, too.
You know, that ain't a bad piece of work, if I do say so myself.
No, sir. A carpenter couldn't have done one bit better.
There. That ought to keep the wind out.
Oh, that looks fine, Marshal. Just fine. I'm mighty obliged to you, man.
Oh, that's all right.
Well, I know you got your duty to do. You got to take me in, and I want you to know there's no hard feelings about it.
Oh, sure, Dottie.
And I appreciate the way you've both been so decent. Help me get things in shape so Medora will be all right here alone. Oh, it ain't many lawmen that'd take the trouble.
Well, she's got enough problems without making it worse for her. So let's put the tools away and get started. It's going to be dark before we get to Dodge.
Yes, sir. You sure are right about her having plenty of problems, Marshal. In her condition and all. And now the cattle gone.
The cattle gone?
Oh, of course, we only had about 20 head. But with me going to prison, maybe it's... Well, it'd been enough to see her through, her and the little one.
What do you mean, the cattle gone?
Well, I had them there in the meadow back of the corral, letting them pick clean what pasture was left. I guess they drifted off last...
Well, of course they drifted off. When that storm hit, they turned tail and moved along with the wind. Cattle always do that.
Well, I guess it don't matter much, though. Medora couldn't take care of them nohow, not in her condition.
Well, she could if you'd hold them in the corral there next to the barn. All she'd have to do is push the hay out of the loft door.
I reckon they drifted down south there about 3 miles and come up against the bluffs. Oh, they'll probably mill around and freeze to death there if the storm keeps up.
About 3 miles, huh?
Mm-hmm. I was aiming to go after them, but of course, one man alone wouldn't have had much chance.
All right, Dodie, come on. Let's go find your cattle.
Bunch of cattle I ever seen in all my born days.
The storm's really got them spooked.
You know, that turned out to be more of a chore than I thought, Marshal.
Yeah, it sure did, though.
I just don't know how I'd have managed without you fellas helping. We're mighty grateful to you, me and Medora both.
Well, we couldn't let the cattle freeze.
Well, if you wait now till I put these lanterns in the barn, we can leave any time you say. Oh, unless, of course, you'd like some hot coffee first.
Dodie, it's dark now. You know as well as I do we're not going to ride back to Dodge tonight.
Well, say, in that case, maybe you wouldn't mind helping me kill and dress a couple of dozen hens.
Couple dozen hens?
Yeah, hang them up under the eaves to freeze.
Oh, my gracious!
Chicken broth's mighty good for a woman in Medora's condition.
Look, Dodie, we've already chopped your wood, fixed your house, and rounded up your cattle.
Oh, you've been mighty decent.
All right. All right, we'll help you dress your chickens. We'll make soap for you, salt down the pork, preserve eggs, anything you say up until midnight. Then I'm going to get some sleep. And at sunup, we're going to ride into Dodge, and you're going to jail.
¶¶
you know about the little white tablet in the little green pocket roll? Just a-waiting for the moment when you need 'em to bring your acid indigestion under control. Tums are the little white tablet in the little green pocket roll. Tums for the tummy, T-U-M-S. Bring relief quicker than you'd ever guess. Best for any kind of acid distress. Keep 'em handy in the pocket roll. Keep your tummy under Tums control.
You're especially wise during the holiday season to keep Tums nearby for quick relief from upset caused by rich foods and the hustle and bustle of holiday activities. Tums, 10 cents, 3-roll pack a quarter. Or get the new Tums 6-roll pack with free metal carrier, only 49 cents.
Chester. Hey, Chester, come on, wake up.
What's the matter, Mr. Dillon?
You tell me. You're the one who's supposed to be on guard.
Huh? Why, it's after daylight. I must doze off for a second.
You'll need a couple of hours, don't you?
Clean Doty, did he get away?
No, he's in there. I just woke him up.
Oh, well, I kind of figured he wasn't going nowhere in that storm.
What storm?
Why, it's over.
Yeah, it died out during the night. You better get yourself collected, Chester. We're heading for Dodge.
My, just look at that sun on the snow, will you? Now, heard I throw them boots out, I'd have swore they... Oh!
What's the matter?
Oh, Mr. Dillon, I'm so lame, I don't even know if I can stand up straight.
Well, keep trying.
I swear I'm going to have to be spoon-fed for a month. I ain't never worked so hard in all my life.
Hello, is anybody home?
What? Somebody outside.
Yeah. By golly, it's Doc.
Doc?
Well, come on in, you old reprobate.
I'm coming. Just tying up my horse and buggy.
Wonder what he's doing out this way.
Seeing a patient, I guess. He must have left town awful early.
Say, though. Did somebody ride up?
Yeah, it's Doc. You about ready to leave, Dolly?
Oh, if you're still a mind to take me.
Nothing's changed.
Well, Matt, Chester... So this is where you've been hiding out.
How are you, Doc?
Yeah. Oh, good morning, Clint.
Morning, Doc.
Got any coffee?
Oh, have some in 2 shakes, Doc. Medora!
Yes, Clint?
Will you come out and fix some coffee?
Yes, a minute.
What are you doing out here this time of morning, Doc?
Oh, the Murdoch baby was acting up, touched the croup, so I spent the night there. Thought I'd just drop over and say hello to the Dodies, as long as I was this close.
You could have done that in town. I'm taking him in.
You're taking him in? Well, for what?
Robbing Jonas General's store night before last.
Robbing the... Now, where'd you get that idea?
Well, Jonas claims he recognized him.
Wilbur Jonas hasn't got the sense the good Lord gave a gopher. Matt, they caught the fella who'd done that.
What?
That's right. It was some drifter riding through town. He threw a lot of money into a poker game, and the boys got kind of suspicious. And he finally admitted the whole thing. So they borrowed a jail key from Judge Bent and locked him up until you get back. Well, Clint, didn't you tell him?
Well, I...
Tell me what?
Clint, he couldn't have done it, Matt. He was playing poker at the time with me and Moss Grimmick in the back room of the livery stable.
Doty.
No, Marshal, I didn't lie to you. You asked me if I could prove where I was, and I didn't know Doc's word was actual proof.
Clint, Doty, he done that deliberate, Mr. Dillon, letting us think he was guilty just to get us to do all that work for him.
And I suppose the story about your wife having a baby...
Oh, that's the gospel truth, Marshal.
Well, it sure is, Matt. I'll vouch for that. Let me see now. It's about another 6 months. Let me see. Around the 1st of July. That's
1st of July?
Yes.
I didn't say when, Marshal, and you didn't ask me.
Ain't you gonna wish us well?
The 1st of July? So help me, Doty, for 2 cents.
Oh, we might even name him after you, Marshal, if we can't think of nothing else.
So help... All right. All right, Doty. Now, how about some of that coffee, huh?
Hello,
Make this one of your merriest Christmases. Join us on CBS Radio as most of these same stations present our fourth annual Christmas Sing with Bing. Right at her husband's side, welcoming you to their holiday celebration, will be Mrs. Bing Crosby, Catherine Grant. With Bing as your host, CBS Radio will take you to Rome to hear the Vatican Choir sing. There, too, you'll hear the sound of the bells of St. Peter's as they ring for the holiday mass. Our Christmas Sing with Bing will take you to New York and Salt Lake City, to Canada, Australia, Holland, France, and even the Fiji Islands, where carolers will sing the traditional Christmas songs with you. Celebrate Christmas with the world. Join us on CBS Radio Christmas Eve as most of these same stations present our fourth annual Christmas Sing with Bing. Remember, this year on CBS Radio, you can spend Christmas with Mr. and Mrs. Bing Crosby. Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Les Crutchfield, with editorial supervision by John Meston. Featured in the cast were Joseph Kearns, Virginia Gregg, and Ralph Moody. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. This is George Walsh inviting you to join us again next week for another story on Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 29th of December, 1957, on CBS. That was an Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast. Wrapping up this Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeFounier. Happy holidays.